When you look at those charts, those statistics, that means that people are making decisions every day. And the majority of people who come to church are not trying to center it around the Word of God. That people are making major decisions about their life, and it's not rooted and grounded in regular Bible reading or their own personal devotional time.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the book, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God.
What the Word of God is saying. If you are looking at God's will for your life, then you better say what God is saying and not what you want to happen and not what you feel needs to happen. So that's commandment number one. If you're going to use the Word of God to discover the will of God, that you've got to rightly divide the Word of God. Commandment number two. You shall not take the Word of God out of context to find the will of God. Now, here's where I get in trouble, right? Because I have this verse on the bathroom, on the wall in my bathroom, Jeremiah 29:11, right? So, but I'm just trying to show you how, unless you study the Word of God, you can take the Word of God out of context. You got to know what's going on before the verse and after the verse. You just can't extract a verse and then claim that verse. You need to extract it in the context. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And again, I got this verse on the wall in my bathroom, right? But if you read before the verse and you read after the verse, it's talking to Israel. Oh, you got quiet on me now, got quiet on me, all right? You got quiet on me. Go back and read Jeremiah 29. The Israelites are in Babylonian captivity. And God has given them a word of encouragement to let them know you want to be there for 70 years and that you can squirm like I was trying to do, squirm out of my pain. You know, you can wiggle, you can try to jump over, go around it, but the fact of the matter is that you're going to be there for 70 years. And I just want to let you know that I know the thoughts that I have towards you and I'm going to bring you toward expected end. Now, can we use that principle to apply it? By all means. By all means, we can use that principle and apply it to our lives. That God wants to lead you to an expected end. That God wants the best for your life. But again, if you read the context, put Jeremiah 29:11 in the context, it's not a verse that you can personally claim. So, I'm going to go, I haven't told my wife this, but when I get a little bit of free time, I'm going to wallpaper our bathroom. And the wallpaper on the bathroom is going to say, context, context, context. No, I'm not going to bother. Right? So if you're going to have the verse up there, you know, have the wallpaper that says context, 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 all right? So, but what do people do? I know this is an extreme example, but what do? People take the Word of God out of context, and then they try to apply it and say, well, this is the will of God for my life. You can't do that. Because that can lead you to do all kinds of strange things. So interpret the word of God within the context. Next. You shall not seek any other meaning where the word of God is clear. Right? The word of God is clear on some things. And so people want to go around and see if, well, is there another script? I remember when I first got saved. And I was shacking up. Right? And I remember somebody told me that there was a verse in the Bible that if you plan to marry someone, that it was okay to have premarital sex. Boy, I started looking for that verse. I've been looking for that verse. 30 years later, I still haven't found it. Right? And so even if I would have found something, and I believe there's a verse in the law of Moses that hints to that, something of that nature, right? But the fact of the matter is, what is the clear teaching? The clear teaching is that that's fornication. And that is wrong. And that is wrong, right? And so when we look at subjects such as abortion, adultery, stealing, lying, fornication, same-sex intercourse, we realize that the clear teaching, these are the clear teachings. And so we don't need to seek any other meaning where the word of God is clear. But people do that because they want to manipulate and they want to stretch the will of God to apply to them. So they want to manipulate the word of God. And so this is a good principle when seeking the will of God. And that is, don't seek any other meaning when there's a clear meaning. Now, I know some people will go back and they will say this. Well, that was Old Testament. You know, that was under the Old Testament law. But let me tell you this, that in the Old Testament, there were several types of laws. And I've taught this in the past. Don't have time to teach it right now. But one type of law in the Old Testament was moral laws. And moral laws in the Old Testament came right on over into the New Testament. As a matter of fact, a lot of the moral laws that we find in the Old Testament is repeated in the New Testament. And so when we look at, you know, these clear teachings on the moral laws, that we can't try to adjust or change or manipulate. The next one. All right. Thou shall understand that there are different genres in the word of God. There's different types of figures of speech. There's narratives, there's poetry, there's symbolism, there's specific types of speech, hyperbole, simile, all these type of things, parables. And when we look at the word of God, and as we read the word of God, some things are meant to be taken. Now, the whole Bible is the word of God. But there are some things in the Bible that are to be taken literally, and other things are to be taken figuratively. And sometimes people want to take something that's figurative, and they want to make it literal so that they can say, this is God's will for my life. A perfect example was found in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 26. David says of his relationship with Jonathan, you know, these guys were tight, right? And David said, I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And so people look at this phrase, passing the love of women. They said David and Jonathan had a relationship that you know, was like they had love for a woman, like a man would have for a woman. That the love between Jonathan and David was like that. But again, that wasn't meant to be taken literally. As far as passing the love of women, what God was saying here is that he was trying to show how close their friendship was, how that they had a great friendship, and they were, their partners, and they backed each other. But yet and still, that's taking something that was said as a poetic expression and taking it literally and building, and some people will build a whole doctrine off of that right there. So it's important to understand the different genres and, when to take something literally, when to take it figuratively. Now, again, I don't have time to go through every verse in the Bible that, whether we take it literal or figurative. That's why, you got to study. You got to study, and understand what the Word of God is saying so that when you try to discern the will of God, that you can understand the Word of God. And then, thou shalt depend on the Spirit of God when interpreting the Word of God and deciding the will of God. You got to depend on the Holy Spirit. You see, there are some things that the Holy Spirit may permit one person to do and not permit the other person to do. I gave you a perfect example that when I got saved, man, I had all kinds of albums. Smokey Robinson, Temptations, Spinners. I can go on and on. I mean, I had an album collection par none. And when I got saved, God told me, you got to let that go, bro. You got to let it go. And so I gave my whole album collection away. And then years later, as I matured and as I grew in the Lord, that I realized why God told me to do that. Because that music was associated with a lifestyle that I was in. And that as long as I listened to that music, it was going to keep me connected to that lifestyle. And now that God has given me the victory over that lifestyle, that now I can go back and I can listen to Diamond in the Back, Sun Rooftop, Dig in the Scene with a Gangster Lean, woo-hoo. Right? But I couldn't do that before because there was a mentality, there was a mindset that went along with that. And so here's an occasion where the Spirit told me that I had to get rid of that. Now here's where I feel the Spirit is saying, okay, just act like you got some sense, right? Act like you got some sense now. And so it may be, let me give you another example. This whole issue, again, on this program, Hard Questions, that I'm on. Is it okay to have a tattoo? You get that all the time, right? And the bottom line for me is, it may be all right for somebody to have a tattoo, and it's not all right for another person to have a tattoo. Right? I mean, you got to come before the Lord, because I know there are people that got tattoos on that glorify Christ, that lift up the name of Jesus. And so now, let me say this, because again, we've dealt with that question before. So there was a lady who actually heard me answer the question, and she called in and said, what about Deuteronomy 14:27? I think that's the scripture. Well, where it talks about don't put any marks on your flesh, and don't cut your flesh. Have you guys read that verse? And I said, well, I actually quoted the verse when I answered the question. And the verse is actually talking about that when Israel came into the land, that they should not put markings on their body for the dead like the heathen were doing. And so, that's talking, that's in a specific context all together that's not even related to people getting tattoos today. And so, you know, I answered the question. But you come to the conclusion that I would pray. You know, God, do you want me to get a tattoo? Is it okay to get a tattoo? That's why, you know, Paul says that some things are permissible for me, but maybe all things are not expedient. I don't need to do it. But you pray and see where God would lead you. Now, personally, you know, I'm not led to get a tattoo, right? That's my personal conviction from the Holy Spirit. But there may be other people that see things different. That's why you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you know, these are two minor areas, right? So, I mean, you can't say, well, is the Holy Spirit going to lead me to lie? All right now. All right. Is the Holy Spirit going to lead me to steal something? I mean, so you can't be praying about stuff like that. You know that that's not right. I'm just saying in these gray areas, you know, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. As I close out, you know, one of the guys that has had a great impact on my life from the time that, you know, I became a believer, you know, I started reading his books, George Mueller. And George Mueller, he ran orphanages in England. And he prayed and he trusted God to put food on the table for those orphans. I remember one time I was reading and it said that Mueller told the kids to sit down and they had absolutely no food for them at all. He told them to sit down and pray. And as they were praying, I believe it was a bread truck broke down in front of his orphanage and came in and asked, you know, for assistance and saw the situation and gave the kids the meal for that day. And so I don't know about you, but that's why I believe that we should read great biographies of great believers, because it inspires their lives. And so this is something that's inspired my life. And so I just want to share this with you. Somebody that would preach this message, you might do something different. You might put something different up here. And, you know, that's why I'm up here. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But George Mueller, he talked about how I ascertain the will of God. And again, I like listening to, you know, I like listening to other preachers because they say things, maybe not necessarily in the message that they're preaching, but they might say, well, this is what I do on my day off. Or they might say, this is what I do for recreation. And so my ears perk up because I'm saying, okay, what are other ministers doing in some of these areas? So when I look at Mueller, he's like that. You know, what did George Mueller do? And so Mueller said this: I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. And so he said, when I'm coming to seek God's will about a matter, he said, I try to put my heart in a place where I'm not preconditioned to think a certain way, even though I might be. He said, I try to put my heart in a place where it's neutral. Now, again, be careful now. You know, you don't put your mind in neutral. Don't put your spirit in neutral. Always keep that engaged. But he says that on a particular matter, I put it in neutral. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just there. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what God's will is. So you got to put aside, if you're seeking the will of God, just put aside all preconceived notions. Now again, I'm not saying put aside truth, not saying put, you know, accept errors, but just put aside You know, the fact that you are seeking God on this and say, God, my heart is a clean piece of paper. And I'm coming, Lord, and I'm asking you to write on this paper. Bueller says, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling of simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. So he says that I'm not just trying to go by whatever little impression comes my way. He says, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling of a simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to the delusions. He said, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. So that's what we're talking about, right? How to find the will of God in the Word of God. He said, the Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the Scriptures. Oh, I need somebody to hear that. I need somebody to hear that. If the Holy Spirit will guide us, he will do it according to the Scriptures and never to the contrary of them. He said, next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with his Word and Spirit. Then he says, I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me aright. Man, I mean, he's made the ground fertile to receive the Word of God. And then he says, thus through prayer to God, the study of the Word and reflection, I come to deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. And this is how Mueller did it. And I like the way he did it. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do it the same way that Mueller did it, but I'm just saying we should have our way of discerning, seeking the will of God. And then we see Mueller concludes, in trivial matters and in transactions involving the most important issues, I have found this method always effective. And so what is Mueller saying? Mueller said that I have a way that works for me, and it helps me to discern the will of God. What's your method? What's your method for discerning the will of God from the Word of God? As I close, I'm reminded of two guys who were talking about a plan for evangelism in the church. And one guy has thought through it and come up with a plan. And the other guy said, you know, I see this wrong with your plan. He said, I see this wrong with your plan. And I see this wrong with your plan. And the guy said to him, well, what's your plan? He said, I don't have a plan. Well, I like my plan. I like my plan better than your plan. What's your plan? What's your plan for discerning the will of God? We've spent these last 6-7 weeks talking about all that deals with the will of God. So you have all the messages. There's no excuse for you not to be able to discern the will of God in your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the word, the will of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.